Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Give the Lord another clap offering. Amen. He is worthy. Hallelujah. How many are blessed this morning? Amen. So blessings to everyone and everyone watching live. Blessings also. Thank you for being with us. It's a great morning, beautiful day that the Lord has made. Eh? You know, and the Bible says, and we will rejoice in it. Amen. This morning, church, as you're standing, if you will open your Bible, as we continue, last week I started to preach, teach on the family, but today, again, the message of the title is Character in the Family. Character in the Family. But I want to read a scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And amen when you have it. Did you come to hear a word from the Lord this morning? But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let's read it again. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Last week, I gave a little bit in the Spanish what I didn't give in the English. The importance of, in a family or as a father, to be engaged with your children. That there should be some type of affirmation by the father or a mother towards the children, and not just tolerance. That even when children make mistakes, we still show the love of the Father towards them. They want the attention from a father or a mother. And I shared last week about the Jewish culture that they still practice today, is what they call the father's table. When the family would get together at the table, and the father would begin to tell them stories, Bible stories from the Old Testament, or the first five books of the law. You know, tell them about Moses, Joshua. Joseph. How God delivered. How God did miracles for Israel. And the faithfulness of God. And encourage the family or the children the God that we serve. You know, even in the times that we live in, church, we must never forget what God says in his word. His promises. That there are promises from God to his children. And it's very important to always have that godly culture in our home. To tell our family, our loved ones, whom we serve, that our God is alive, he is not dead, that he answers prayer, and that when we are obedient to God, you will see the blessing of God upon your life. And that if you meditate in his word day and night, God will prosper you. I mean, because if you really think about it, everything that outside of a home, it could be at school, it can be at work. You know, the world we live in, so much negativism, so much doubt. And that's the reason why we, you know, God told Joshua, speaking to Joshua, he says, meditate in the law day and night. And we will learn so much of what God says, church. How to be an individual, a follower of Christ. How to be the best father, be the best mother or grandfather, grandmother, or co-worker, or just a follower of Jesus Christ. We can learn so much about how to demonstrate the love of God towards our loved ones. How to hear or listen to your spouse or your children when they're talking, they want to talk, and the Bible teaches us to, you know, to be quiet and listen. I mean, there's just so much we can learn. And in a family, church, if you're a son or you're a daughter or you are a husband or a wife, everybody wants to be celebrated. Amen. In matter of fact, be around where you are celebrated, not just tolerated. Amen. Not just tolerated, but be celebrated. Amen. And that's her children. They want to be what? Our children, they want to be celebrated. You know, that they see and watch that. You know, we do see what they do, their accomplishments, or the things they do around the house, or, you know, something great they did at school. You know, they want to be what? Celebrated. And that's where the word comes in. The word that I'm talking about is to be engaged, you know, towards our children, or even towards your spouse. That the moment that you're talking to someone or listening, you are engaged. I mean, you're all in it. Amen. And not how easy it is to, they're talking to us and we're doing other things. So that's just a little bit what I was talking about last week. And you know, they did, this is what they say. They did a research study out of Columbia University that says that when a father is in the home, if he's not engaged in the life of the family, it's actually worse than if there's no father there at all. So, I mean, think about it. It's like you're there, but it's like if you don't even exist. And we talked about this last week, that's why any moment or opportunity that you have, be engaged. Or how we say in Spanish, clávate, engránate, escucha, oye, listen, hear. And right away, you already know. You know when something's not right. With your children or your spouse, you know something's not right, and you know that they're going through something, or there might be pain, or there might be some discouragement, because you know what? You know your children. And the more you spend time with them, the more you've been around them, the more you know them right away. You know, and it's the same thing, church. It's like, not only is that in family, in anything, in church, when you serve in leadership, or even at work, when you're called to do something, we're called to what? To be engaged. I mean, we're called to be engaged in whatever thing that we do. Is that why? Because there's one purpose. That purpose is that we want to do things well. We want to be our best in what we're doing. And you already know that everything we do it for His glory and honor. We want to do things right. Amen. We just want to do things right. So in today's message, character in the family is very important, church. The Bible says that if anyone does not provide for his own, let me say this, it is important and it is biblical that the family should be provided. And the Bible says, and especially for those of his household. Your home. Who's the breadwinner? Amen. And it says, because if anyone does not provide for his own, if anyone, especially those of your household, the Bible says, look what the Bible says. He has denied the faith. In other words, the Bible teaches us, when you read Proverbs, see, I read Proverbs every day. Every day. And those 30 days, those 31 Proverbs are done, I start again, chapter 1. And it's just pure wisdom. And it teaches about how man should not be what? Lazy. See, 3-4 of you didn't like that part, you know, like. But the Bible talks about work. And he talks about the importance of excelling in your work, to excel. To whatever you're doing, do your best. So the Bible says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith. And look what the Bible says, and you're even worse. Than who? Your neighbor? No, it says worse than an unbeliever. Wow. And that's crazy because, so that tells that a believer should work, a believer should be responsible. Nobody should be pushing you. And he says that if you don't provide, you're worse than an unbeliever. And see, God's children, we are a people of what? A vision. We are a people of what? Dreams. We are a people that we have goals. We're believing God for the best. We're believing God that, you know what, we're going to get out of debt. We're believing God that, you know what, we're going to believe God for this. God's going to provide. You know, God is going to supply. You know, next year this is going to happen. This is going to happen. But all that happens by one word. It's what? It's work. It's work. Even if you have goals, guess what? It's work. You have to write it down. So, this is the, I like what David Guzik said. He says, this is the minimum required of a Christian man. Is to be responsible to provide. That here, you talk about, you know, if God answers prayers, this one, if let me say this, church, all the men, or for everybody, because I don't want the men to get offended, but if you don't have work and you pray for work, guarantee God is going to answer that prayer. He's going to answer that prayer. This is a request that you can pray with such confidence, knowing that it's God's will that you work, because through work and income, you will what? Provide for the family. God's going to answer that prayer. It might not be where you want it at first, but he'll answer you. And many times, you know, we want, God, there's work. Men, there's work. Hallelujah. So, character in the family. Not only is there a lack of fatherlessness, like we shared last week, that's what Dr. Ed Cole said, but also a lack of masculinity. Did you hear that? How important it is, church. When you look at the life of Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was what? He was a carpenter. His father did woodwork. And I like what Dr. Josue Dion said. Jesus was not a weak man. He was a strong physical man. Why? Because he did woodwork. He was a carpenter. Why? The question is, the lack of masculinity in the families today. One of them is, again, what we've been teaching, absence of fathers. The redefinition of the gender roles. The women's movement. They want to take over. Chill out. You're a woman. Submit to the husband. That's what you ought to do. One amen, but it's all right. We're going somewhere. But you know what I'm saying? And me, I always tell people, especially if you serve God, you fear God, woman, this is a mandatory thing, you submit. That's just extra on the top. Why this is important? Because at school, you know, men, they want to quiet you down. You can't do this, you can't do that. And so many things going on, church. But everything starts in the home. Even in my life, there's things that I wasn't taught. One, my father that raised me, who I consider my father, My real dad wasn't there. But to a certain point, I learned certain things, but not as much as I would want to. And you'd be surprised, it does affect as you grow up. But thank God that when you get hooked up with Jesus, he begins to teach you the importance of responsibility. That, hear me, that no one, the only one that's going to care more for you is your father. Nobody's going to be there all the time, church. You have to stand up and you have to do something about your life. To get up and hustle and work and do what you got to do to make it. And you already know that God is with you. But sometimes we have it twisted. We want to do things, but we don't want to include God. But I have found out that with God, it's better. With God, it is better. Now, Proverbs 1:8 says this, "My child, listen when your father corrects you." Any children here? Listen when your father corrects you. Oh, Jesus. Don't go there, Pastor. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. Two whammies right there. Listen when your father corrects you, and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Now, this is important. This is one of the things that you see a lot. Many times, there's nothing wrong when a father corrects or a mother gives instruction. I'm going to put it simple. You ready for this? Practice what you preach. If you're not practicing it, don't expect results. You cannot punish your children for something you are doing in your own life. Come on now. Come on now. Don't try to punish your children if it's something that you're still doing in your own life.
Ándale, mijo, ve a la iglesia. Y tú ni vas. Come on, clean. Y tú ni limpias.
Don't be yelling. Don't be. And y tú no paras de gritar. You keep yelling. You're always yelling. This is pure wisdom. There's a true saying. They say, children may not always listen to you, but they will always imitate you. Should we keep going, or is it too heavy? Children may not always listen to you, but they will always imitate you. Like, I think it was like a week ago, me and Eddie went, I invited him to go eat. So we were having a conversation. But in one of those conversations that we didn't talk at the restaurant, it was at the Broken Yoke. So she already know. So there was something that I had a burden in my heart to tell him. And I said, Eddie, look, whatever you see in the home, if you ever see me arguing or fighting with your mom, or I said something, or things, stuff like that, church, I go, always put aside what's not good. But the good that you see, grasp that. What I was trying to tell him was that don't think So also, church, don't think that it's like a drama in my house. You know, it's just, you know, when things happen or disagreements or stuff. I said, I don't want you to think that that's normal. That the day of tomorrow, if you ever have, you get engaged or you get married, don't go in there thinking, you know what, this is the way to do it because that's the way my dad do it. No. I go. No. Get everything, get all the good. But the else, reject that. Which I know, church, I know that influence is powerful. And many times, you know, kids, they grow up and what they see, they think that's the normal way to do it. I go, but most important, do what the Word of God says. Do what God says. You be the best husband. You be the best loving husband or father, you know, whatever. And so we're just talking. Because if I don't take the time, church, he could, for all I know, he could grow up and say, you know what, I guess this is the way it is here, you know. But no, church. So, if you want to know what's wrong with your children, you just need to look inside yourself first. You also cannot punish a child for something. Here it is. This is very important. For something you haven't trained them to do right in the first place. The reason your children do wrong is because they have not been trained to do right. And you know that that goes for everything, even in church. If I ask somebody, I've done this in my home. If I tell someone, hey, help me out at the door, greeter. But then, after I see the way he's doing it and this, and that, and I go after, hey, brother or sister, you know, that's not the way to do it. You know, you, this, blah, 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 and I go after him. Guess what? It's not their problem. It's their fault. It's my fault. Because I didn't train them. I didn't train them how to what? Do it. Or for them to mimic me. Like, say, you know what? This is the way you do it. And that's just the way in life, at work, at home, in the church. How important it is, church, is to take the time and to train our children, train our people in the church, at work, is train. Don't expect something from them if they have not been what? Taught. Now, after you've taught them 100 times and they're still doing it, well, it's time to do changes. Come on now. So training, here it goes, church. Training takes some time. Number two, it takes what? Repetition. Like in leadership, you see something, you're getting there, but you're not there yet. Keep doing it. Now, I'm not going to get into it, but when I was studying this, I go, man, we got to do a better job at church. Yeah. And thirdly, this is fruit of the Spirit. It takes patience. Patience. If you're the teacher, it takes patience. If don't complain, don't blame if you haven't taught them well yet. So it's kind of like with their children, you know, or children at the home, you know, oh, do that, but you haven't taught them. And many times, here's another thing that I've learned. Many times because we've done it 100, 1,000 times, and because for us it comes natural, it's easy, right away we think that they could do the same thing. Or we think that they're going to know how to do it. But you know what I found out? That they don't. Like, you know, I can give you a lot of examples in the church or at home. But for me, it's certain things, it's natural for me. But that doesn't mean because it's natural for me, or I know how to do it, or I'm good at it, I can't say, if that person's never done it, I just can't say, no, he'll do, he'll get it. You know, let him. No. You need to teach him. You got a reputation. You got to be patient. And it is important, hear me, church, it is important, the opportunity. Many times, even, and this is at home or at church, you give someone an opportunity, it's important. Why an opportunity? Because many times if we don't give opportunity, we steal from them or we take away from them their destiny of something maybe that they could be good at. But because we, many times we don't want to let others do it because we want to hog it all. You know what I'm saying? Because in our mind we think, I'm the only one that can do it. I'm the only one. Oh, heck, no, him, no, he can't do it better than me, no. Well, that's another message. So, but the Bible also says, 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these, commit these to, here he goes, faithful men. Let me ask you this. Everybody and everybody should get an opportunity. But where are the faithful ones? Where are the faithful ones? Where are the faithful ones that are here at church? Where are the faithful ones at home when you say something, but you don't commit to it? Oh, yeah, baby, we're going to go have a dinner. Bye, 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 bye. Then the day comes and, oh, man. You're going to have to wait another 3 months because I got something going. Where are the faithful ones? It's too quiet today, this morning. We're in the right place. Faithfulness is a cornerstone of character. That's why it's important, church. Us believers, see, we're the body of Christ. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are not like the world, church. And we can do better because we have the wisdom of God. That's why it's important to be what? Consistent. Consistent means is that you don't, listen, church, you don't go by your feelings. Oh, the pastor didn't say hi to me, so I'm not going to go on Sunday. You can't live off that, church. No. You know how many times you haven't said hi to me? Or given me a call or, hey, pastor, how are you? And what? I'm still here. I still have a commitment. I'm still joyful. I still praise God. I still love you. I'm still here. I'm still preaching. I'm still teaching. I still praise God. I still show up. Where are the faithful ones at? It's important, church. We have to be consistent. Character. God is looking for believers who have character, who are consistent. Be consistent like who? The greatest example, church, is like our Heavenly Father. Why is it important for us as believers to be consistent? Why? Because our Father is that way. See, if you expect much from your children, you got to be consistent at home, church. Why? Because when we, the reason, the re, one of the, we follow Jesus is because he never changes. His word never changes. Matthew 24, 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means pass away. Again, do you keep your word? Hebrews 13, 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me ask you, are you the same? Are you going to be the same today, tomorrow? You said, you know what, Pastor, I commit. I'm a be here. Are you going to be here? Can I depend on you? Like, the opportunity is there, but can I depend on you? Are you going to keep your word? That's the reason why I always tell people, are you sure you want to do this? Because you got to commit. How's your household? How's your spouse? If he doesn't serve the Lord, he or she, can you commit? Or are you, don't go by just by your emotions, just because you're going to get a leadership position or because you're going to get a title. Or because you're going to get more likes. Don't look at it. Look at it that are you going to commit? You'd be surprised. People do things for the wrong reasons. Wrong reasons. And here's another nugget. And I speak that for myself first. You can't be perfect at everything. And you can't even be good at everything. But whatever you are doing, be consistent and be good at it. Wherever God has you right now, be consistent and be good at it, or get better. Or get better. What do they say? Hey, if they let you borrow a car, the car's dirty, but they did a favor for you, why not wash the car and put gas to it? Return it back better, not worse. Rims are scratched, no gas, 14 cheeseburger wrappers everywhere. Remember this, church, remember this. God always commits to character. Not talent. He commits to character, not talent. I told you, character in the family. Now I'm going to finish off. I'm going to give you some. They're going to be heavy. Don't look for talent, look for character. There's a lot of talented people, but they don't have character. Everybody goes after talent. But they don't think about character. But imagine if you have talent, you have skills, you're gifted, and you have character. My Lord have mercy. You're an atomic bomb. But then you got people that are talented, but no character. You can't tell them anything. They don't commit. They're not teachable. They got attitude. Should we keep going? They think they know everything. I remember when I used to work in parts, we got a new employee. And just because he did certain type of work at another store, he thought it was the same thing over here. So the manager's trying to tell him, look, this is the way I did. Oh, yeah. He goes, I know how to do this. He goes, and then he kept going until the manager told him, listen to me. This is a different system. This is a different system. And this is the way I do it over here. You're not over there. We're over here. Oh, no. Well, I come from another church. Look, this is New Generation Church. That's... What did Paul tell Timothy? Commit these to what? Faithful men. So your talent can open a door anywhere. If you got talent to play, anybody could tell you, okay, hey, get up, sing, because you know how to sing. Or you know what? Oh, he's good at sports. Okay, yeah, join the team. Whatever. Your talent gets you there, but here it is, church. But many times your talent, you will only be there for a little bit. Why? Again, because you're not a team player. Oh, here we go again. You're not a team player. You want to hog the ball. But see, talent can open the door for you to get in. But here it is. But your character will keep you there. Guess what? They're not going to want to let you go. They're going to want to keep you there. Because you're talented, you got the skills, you're gifted, you have charisma, and you have character. Man, I like working with you. Ooh, the Lord is speaking this morning. I know. Praise the Lord. Your character is what other people trust in. What you do in private will determine your public performance. A person of character does not waver. You're the same. People with character hold fast to their values and standards without compromise. Attracting, this is what you attract, loyalty and trust. And here's the heaviest of heaviest. You don't truly know a person until they don't get what they want. That's when they show who they really are. Oh, I've seen that a lot. I'm sorry, but it's a no. Everything changes. Their tone and their voice change. Their face change. You don't see them for a while. True character, yeah, it might be a little painful. You swallow it, but you say, you know what, God? I'm trusting you. And if you're truly, hear me, church, and you say, Lord, you know that I've been loyal to you, guess what? God will honor you. God's going to help you. But don't get that way if you're not living for Jesus. Everything you do is mediocre. See, that's the problem. Sometimes we don't pray. We don't read the Bible. We don't live for Jesus. We're doing our own thing outside the church. We're in sin. But then, you have these big expectations. How do you expect something big when God already knows what you're doing? What you do in private is going to come out in public, church. Don't ever forget that. Don't expect blessings, favor, God doing this and that. Look, everything the Bible says is naked unto the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now is the time to shout and praise Jesus and give him glory and honor. Say, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to me this morning. I mean, you're not living for Jesus. You're all this stuff. And then they tell you, you know, no, and you still get upset. You know what I would answer? I'd be like, you know what? I get it, Lord. I need to get my act together. How do I expect to do something in church or get involved or for God to use me more and more and more and more when I know that I'm living in sin? Well, I want a better position, a better pay, but you know there's no character in you. Getting 3-hour lunches. Going in the break room, stealing lunches. Or people, you know, they got no shame. They go to the counter and there's tip money and you're grabbing their tip money to get it. Hallelujah. Please stand. We're going to stop. I think it's too much for you. Give the Lord a clap offering this morning, church. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at etngchurch.com.